Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Acts. That's where we're going to be today in just a moment. And today, as you've heard, we are having sign-ups for small groups. And sometimes people say, what is a small group? How's that different from Sunday school? Well, let's back up as we kind of explain this. Let's back up to the whole reason that we're here. Whenever you talk to any of us on staff, or you talk to any of our leaders, or maybe you're new to the church, maybe you go to new members class, and you will hear the primary reason that we are here is the primary reason for all of existence, and that is to glorify God. That's the reason. That's the ultimate reason. And we say that we here at this church, the way we understand that we locally in this body of believers, in this faith family, the way that we understand that we're going to do that is that we are to be about following Jesus and growing together. Those two things, following Jesus, growing together. Now, I know you may say, that's just four words. Well, there was a lot of thought and a lot of prayer and a lot of discussion to get down to those four words. Sometimes when you hear like a mission statement or something like that, it's this grandiose thing where they try to cover every single possible nuance and detail of everything that the church could possibly ever do. Well, that's great, except they're just not that memorable. I will say this, and I'm not picking on the church that I came from. I remember our mission statement, even now, I remember our original mission statement. The original mission statement was this: to bring people to Jesus and his church, to teach and equip them for ministry, resulting in gain for God's kingdom and glory to his name. Now, that was years ago, and I was the only one on staff that actually had memorized the purpose statement for the church. They asked in a staff meeting, and I said, I know it. Does anybody else know it? No one else remembered it. No one else could say it. Well, there was one other guy who could. But my point is this: whenever you have a long purpose statement, and we understood up there, when you have a long purpose statement, it's hard to remember. It's hard to relate that. So it's all true. It's all good. So it got reduced down. And so here we wanted to be able to come up with something that kind of encapsulated everything. And we understand biblically that to be following Jesus, growing together. Well, how do we do that? If we're following Jesus and growing together, what does that look like? Well, if you've walked through our fellowship hall out back, as you've walked in, you've seen these five words. We believe it's through worship, connect, give, serve, and go. We said those are the five legs, basically, that table stands upon. We worship, connect, give, serve, and go. And that second word, connect, that's where small groups come in. That's where Sunday school comes in. Now, Drew, when he was up here a minute ago, he mentioned this, that the concept of community goes all the way back before anything was created. God lives with himself in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is a holy community. It is a trinity. It is a triune God. And then we find that Jesus, though he was absolutely perfect, lived in community with his disciples. Now, if Jesus, who is absolutely perfect, lives in community with his disciples, how much more should I, an imperfect being, recognize that community is important for my day-to-day walk? So Jesus lives in community, God lives in community, and believers in Christ, followers of Christ, we live in community with each other. There are very few places this is so explicit other than Acts chapter 2. So join me in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is as the church is beginning to meet and they're growing together. We find this, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Notice verse 46. day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So there was the time where they would come together and they would go to the temple together and they would worship together, and then they would also meet in their homes. And we find at the beginning of this passage, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They studied the teachings of the apostles. They were word-centered as they gathered together. And so we find that in the New Testament, the idea of being in a group, and though they didn't have Sunday school like we think of Sunday school, like, well, right before we go to temple, we're going to have an hour where we're going to get together. There's nothing wrong with Sunday school, but that's not really the way they did it. But groups, it wasn't a program. The group idea in the New Testament church, it wasn't a program. It was just a way of life. It was just what they did. Now here at East Haven, we have Sunday school, and we also have small groups. Now, they bear some similarities, and there are some differences. Sunday school meets on Sunday. Meets on Sunday morning before we have service in here. And if you're not involved in a Sunday school, I encourage you to get involved in a Sunday school. Small groups, they not only meet sometimes Sunday night, Wednesday night. Mine meets Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. We have some that meet Tuesday night and Thursday night, and all different times of the day and all different times of the week. And we're not bound to meeting at the church. Some of them do. Some of them meet in homes. Some of them meet in other places. And so there's a freedom to that. We also find that Sunday school classes tend to, not always, but they tend to be larger than a small group. It's kind of in the name also, small group. So, in case you missed it. So small groups, when small groups meet together, it tends to be a smaller group, and that group tends to engage in a lot more discussion and a lot more interaction than a Sunday school class where, in many cases, not always, but a lot of times when you have 20 or 30 people in a Sunday school class, it's kind of hard to engage in deep discussion and hear from everyone. In a small group, you can do that. And we say here at East Haven, if you were to ask me the question, well, which one should I do? Should I do a Sunday school or should I do a small group? Well, pick one. Pick at least one. We have lots of people who do both. But we have people, some, they go to a small group. Instead of going to Sunday school, they go to a small group. And that's what they do. They may meet on Tuesday night, they go to a small group, and that is their discipleship time. Now, I've heard people say, I don't think that's right. I think they should be in Sunday school. Because aren't small groups more supplemental? Like small groups, it's like Sunday school light, right? That's what it's like. No, it's not. It's really not. In fact, I find many cases that in small groups, if the group is tight enough, that group can go really, really deep and really share a lot of things with each other that you might not be able to do in a Sunday school. You might do that in a Sunday school. But I'm not saying there, you know, one is better than the other one. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that between the two, we need to pick one, because that's part of what we understand, that we are to connect with each other with a sense of community and a sense of belonging with each other. There are no long ranger Christians. We don't find that in the Bible. We all are to be joined together with each other and to do life together. So we grow together. We're following Jesus and we're growing together. That means not only are we growing together in unity, we are growing together corporately as we grow together as people who are growing side by side as we grow more and more into the likeness of Christ. Following Jesus, growing together. Now, biblically, what are some of the things that we find happens whenever you engage in that sort of community? I'm so glad that you asked that, because that's the answer that I'm going to give you. How do we grow together? Well, there are numerous passages in the New Testament that talk about one another. Do this with one another. And I just want to look at a few of them today and look at how these things come into play whenever we enter into a relationship with each other in community, with God as the center, and we live that way. What happens with us? How do we grow? The first thing we find is this. We grow together when we love one another. Listen to John 13, 34. Jesus' words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Love one another. Have that selfless love and concern for one another. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, or Hebrews chapter 10, 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's think about how we stir each other up to love. A lot of times we do stir each other up, it's just not to love. Can I get an amen on that, right? We do sometimes. We will stir people up, we'll get people all riled up over something, but a lot of times it's not considering how to stir people up to more love. What if you went about your week deciding, this week I'm going to see what I can do to stir up more love in the body of Christ? Now, you may have never thought about that before. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We're also to consider. It's not just an emotion. You're thinking about it. What's the thing I can do in this situation that's going to stir up the most love and the most good works? What can I do? You can't do that by yourself. We are to love one another. You can't love one another if you're never in contact with one another. When we isolate ourselves, we're not able to one another anything. So we are to love one another. We grow together when we love one another. We grow together when we teach and admonish each other. When we teach and admonish one another. Admonish is a word that means to warn. So you teach and you also warn. Listen to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Notice the prerequisite for teaching and admonishing one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the teaching and the warning, they are based upon the word of God. You don't teach and warn people based upon your best hunch. We don't teach and warn people based upon the opinion of the day. We don't teach and warn people based upon, well, I got a feeling that this is the best course of action. We teach and warn based upon the word of God. Because let's just be really honest. There are times that what I feel does not line up with the Word of God. There are times that what I think does not line up with the Word of God. There are times that I may have an opinion that doesn't line up with the Word of God. I have to let the Word of Christ dwell in me in all richness, and then we teach and admonish. Then we teach and we warn people. And that's what we do. We can't teach and warn one another if we're never around one another. You find in Colossians chapter 1, back two chapters from the verse we just looked at, verse 28, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Him we proclaim. We proclaim Christ. It's Christ-centered. It's Word-centered. It's His message that is centered. Groups, small groups, that's not a place to have a personal church where we espouse our own personal brand of Christianity and our own personal beliefs that aren't based upon the Bible. That's not what it's about. It is about coming together to teach and admonish one another. We've had times in my small group, we meet at 7 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. And we meet and we've been able to talk to each other. We talk very openly with each other. We understand that anything that is shared in that group, it doesn't leave that group. If somebody says, listen, I need to share this, but I'm just sharing it with you guys. We don't talk about it outside of the group. And we all understood when we joined the group. That's one of the criteria for like the small group leaders. Whenever they form the group, they are to go over it with the group and let the group know what you share in group. And assuming it's not something that you're a danger to yourself or you're a danger to somebody else, this isn't going to be shared. So if you share something, it's not a matter of somebody, guess what I heard in small group the other day. Can I just be really honest? We have a policy here written in the small group manual, and it's kind of implied that if that's what happens, you ain't going to be a part of that small group. I'm sorry. If small groups are not the place to replenish the gossip pitcher so you can go out and fill everybody's glass. That's not what we do in small group. So that's what Ron mentioned. We're not the gossip mill. And it's not, well, I just can't wait to go get some fresh and juicy gossip. That's not what small group's about. And if that person comes in a small group, we find out that's what they're thinking it's about, that gets addressed. All right? Now, thankfully, we haven't had to do it here. I have been in small groups before at other churches where I've had to do that. And I'm like, listen, you a danger to the small group. You're a danger to the confidentiality. You can't keep anything to yourself. Well, I just share it as a prayer concern. Yeah, you about to have a prayer concern. In the name of Jesus. But that's not what small groups are about. Small groups are about teaching and admonishing one another, about loving one another. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have groups. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, I know sometimes that's difficult. I know sometimes we may say, there was a gentleman a number of years ago, okay? We were starting small groups at a church that I came from. Getting it kicked off, this guy wanted to have lunch with me. Sat down with him. Now, we weren't requiring anybody to be in a small group, but this guy just didn't like the idea of anybody doing small groups. So he sat down at lunch with me, and he looked at me, and he said, I don't like small groups. I said, well, you don't have to be in a small group. Well, I don't think anybody should do a small group. I said, what is that? He said, well, I had a bad experience one time in a small group. I said, you had a bad experience one time in one small group? Yeah. So we sat there. I said, okay. And I let him talk for a little while. And then I just asked him, I said, hey, let me ask you a question. You ever have a bad steak? Well, yeah. I said, you like steak? Yeah. I said, you still eat steak? Yeah. I said, so you give a piece of dead cow a chance that you won't give the people of God? Well, I don't think I like your attitude. I was like, I'm just trying to show you that you're not being consistent. Yeah, you have a bad steak. You just chalk it up to, well, maybe somebody else likes that steak. I don't like that steak, but it doesn't mean that I quit eating steak. For those of you who are vegans, I'm sorry, but this is a great point. But the point being, we've all had bad experiences with different things, but it doesn't mean that we throw everything out just because you have one bad experience. As Celeste mentioned, you go to a small group, it doesn't click. You don't say, oh, small groups stink. I'm never going to find a small group that I fit into. Try another one. Go to a Bible, or go to a Sunday school class. Go to a Bible study. Go get involved in one of these areas. Connect in some way. So we grow together when we love one another. We grow together when we teach and admonish one another. We grow together when we pray for one another. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Some translations, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. We pray for one another. Go through the book of Acts and look at how many times they prayed corporately. Now, are there individual prayers in the book of Acts? Absolutely. But look at how many times the church prays corporately, together. They pray. We have prayer time in here every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Now, this Sunday night, we're having kind of our annual fall or beginning of the year cookout and kickoff. But we have prayer in here at 5 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. And I know, and it's just sad. And I don't have anything against fellowship. But I know that we're going to have far more people here tonight to eat free food than we are to come into the presence of God the next week. Why is that? Well, because we don't understand the power of corporate prayer. If we truly understand the power of corporate prayer, that coming together and praying, well, I pray by myself at home. That's great. But look at all the times that they pray together. God's people come together in agreement and they pray and God works. It happens. God works. God moves. And you can't pray for one another if you're never in contact with one another. We have had incredible prayers answered that were voiced in this room on Sunday nights. I mean, we're talking just absolutely incredible God things happen based upon prayers that were prayed here in the evening on Sunday nights. Now, I know some of you are like, well, I'm sure there were other prayers. Yeah, but, you know, God's people are to come together and pray. It astounds me. It really astounds me because I hear within the Church of Christ here in America, a lot of people, they want to complain about, well, I don't like that they took prayer out of schools, and they're never going to take prayer out of school. They don't want to pray before a football game, and I don't like. But then comes the opportunity for God's people to come together and pray, and nobody shows up. Do you know why? Because we love the idea of our freedom to obey more than we do actual obedience. We don't want anybody to take our freedom away if we would like to obey, but we also want to have the freedom to not obey. So we love our freedom more than we love our obedience. We are to pray for one another. Now, am I saying if you don't show up on Sunday night, you're a terrible person? That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying it's an opportunity for God's people to come together and pray. Listen to what happens in the book of Acts. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, that's corporate prayer. They came together and prayed. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The place in which they were gathered together was shaken. What would you do if that happened in your prayer time? That God just came and shook things up. The presence of God himself showed up among his people. I don't want to miss it when that happens. We pray together. We grow together when we pray for one another. We grow together when we bear one another's burdens. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen to what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We are to bear one another's burdens, and so we grow together. Ron mentioned after breaking his arm, that some of the guys we from his small group, we went over and helped him with some things. And yeah, I got in the floor and I put together a bed frame. And when Ron said, I need a bed frame put together, I went over early that afternoon and I thought, oh, that's a bed frame. Okay. Well, Ron showed me this little tiny box. And I'm like, there ain't no way a bed frame's in that box. Yeah, it is if it's in a bajillion pieces. So I got down and started putting the thing together. And then Harold came over and Will came over and we just helped get everything set for Ron because of his injury. But let me give you a truth. I didn't go over to Ron's house and do that and work in that way for Ron because I was his pastor. I went over there because Ron's in my small group. That's why I went over there. Ron's a small group guy. Ron does things for us. We do things for him. We help each other out. Not because I'm his pastor again, but because we're in small group together. We're in community together. That's why I did it. Would I have done it if I were not his pastor? Absolutely. Because Ron's in my small group. He's one of my small group guys. We're in it together. And we meet at 7 o'clock there, and we come together, and we drink some coffee, and we read the word, and we pray for each other. And it's a great time. But we are to bear one another's burdens. Spiritual burdens, physical burdens, we're to bear one another's burdens. And if we're not involved with each other, we're not in a community, we can't bear each other's burdens. So we're to bear each other's burdens. Bear each other's burdens. That's one way we grow together. And then finally, we're to build one another up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We're to build one another up. We're to encourage one another to become more and more like Christ. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the winds and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's what God wants to do. That's why God wants us to connect. Because each one of us has giftedness. Each one of us has something that the body as a whole needs. We are not designed to live an isolated Christian walk by ourselves. We are designed for connection, not only to each other, but also to God. And when we are separated and we are isolated and we are not connected with others in the faith and growing together, we will grow cold. You might have heard me give the illustration. It's a true story of an old pastor that went to visit one of the members of his church that had not been in church for very many months. He had grown upset about something and decided not to come. And so the old pastor visited this man's cabin. This was way back many years ago. And he visited this man's cabin one evening, and the man said, "I don't want you to tell me anything at all about church. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to try to encourage me to come back. I don't want to hear a single word about that." And the pastor said, "That's perfectly all right. I won't mention a single word about it." And so they sat there in front of the man's fireplace, and they were talking about just life in general. And the pastor reached over and got the pair of tongs that were sitting over on the side of the hearth, and he reached in and he pulled out the hottest glowing orange coal that he could find, and he laid it on the hearth away from all the other coals, and he kept talking to the gentleman. And as they talked, that coal grew lighter in color, and it went gray, and then it went dark, and it was just a cold lump of coal. And then he reached down and he picked up that dead coal with those tongs and he put it back in the fire. And then they watched as that black coal began to light back up again and begin to give off heat. And the man looked to the pastor and said, "I get it. I'll be there Sunday." That's what happens to us when we do not live in community. When we separate ourselves, we go cold, our light grows dim, and we're not able to emit any heat whatsoever. It's only when we are together. We are designed to grow together. We grow best when we grow together. That's why we do Sunday school. That's why we do groups. That's why we do this. That's why we emphasize community. That's why we emphasize worship. Connect, give, serve, go. That's why we say it's so important. It's so important that we do life together. God himself is united in community. Jesus lived in community with his disciples, and we are to live in community with each other. The most important thing that can come out of that, though, the most important thing that come out of that is understanding our connection with each other is completely and totally dependent upon our connection with Jesus Christ. That's where it all comes down. If we are not connected with Jesus, we will not be connected with each other. As somebody has said, we have to have our vertical relationship worked out before our horizontal relationship is going to make sense. And then our horizontal relationships with others, those relationships will actually point everything in our life back toward Christ. He should so permeate everything that we do, the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we do everything, the way that we engage in community, that it all brings back to the point, or all comes back to the point of bringing glory to God because of Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Are you in community with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't, that's an incredible step. That's the most important step that you can take. More important than joining a group. More important than joining a Sunday school class is having a relationship with Christ. That Jesus came and he lived a perfect life among us. And he lived that life among us to show us what perfection looks like. But he lived that life among us so that he could give his life as a sacrifice so that our sins could be paid for and we could then have relationship, unbroken fellowship with God himself, because Jesus has unbroken relationship with God. And now if we receive Christ by faith and the sacrifice that he made for us, then we have the same kind of relationship with God that Jesus has, the same unbroken love relationship with the Creator, Lord God of the universe. Have you done that? If you haven't, let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus. Don't walk out of here and leave without being in community with Christ, without that connection. It's the most important decision you will ever make. More important than your job, more important than the person you marry, more important than what you're going to do with the rest of your life, more important than any of that, is the most important thing is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Don't leave. If you don't know him today, don't leave without coming to just throw yourself on his mercy and say, "I need you. I need Jesus." He's there. He's willing. He'll forgive. He'll give you a new life in him. He will do that. And then all the community with everybody else entering into the body of Christ, and living in community. Can it be hard? Yes. Can it be a struggle at times? Yes, because we are all less than entirely sanctified, okay? But we then live in community, building each other up, allowing Christ to live through us and show Christ to those who are around us. That's the importance of following Jesus and growing together. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks that you don't leave us to navigate this world and this life alone. Not only do you inhabit us by your Holy Spirit, not only do we have a relationship with you, Father, we recognize that Jesus himself is empowering us to love others and to encourage one another, and from your word we can come to each other and we can teach each other and we can warn each other and we can build each other up and encourage one another, and by your strength we bear one another burdens, and through your mercy we can love one another as you have loved us. We can lift each other up in prayer, go boldly before you and pray for our brother, our sister, individuals who are in need of prayer, and you answer. Lord God, I pray that we would never lose sight of what an honor and what a gift it is to be able to have the freedom just to come before you. I'm not talking about just the freedom in this country, the freedom that we have in you to come and worship you, the freedom that you give us through Jesus, so that we can just love you openly and freely and have that unbroken relationship with you. God, may we never take that for granted. May we never take it lightly. And so, Father, I pray if there's anybody here today that may be saying, I've never made a decision to follow him, I pray today would be the day that they would say yes to Jesus. Father, if there's somebody here today that says, you know, I'm like that hot coal that has grown cold and dark on that hearth away from the heat, I pray that today would be the day that they would say, I'm going to step into community. I may not know exactly all what that looks like, what all it entails, but I'm going to trust, God, that you're leading in that way. And I want to live for others, with others. I want to engage in all of these one another's that you say in your word. Father, I pray today that you would work in our lives, and today you would transform us more and more into your image, more and more to look like Jesus and less like ourselves, for your glory alone, as we follow Jesus and as we grow together. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. During this time, if there's any decision you need to make, if you want to come pray with someone, pray for someone, if you would like us to pray with you, if you have any other decision, if you want to talk to someone about how you can join the church, be baptized, or know Jesus, you feel free to respond as God leads.